Support for Dave and the City is made in part by Stamps.com. Why not check out Stamps.com? Over 400,000 individuals and businesses are using Stamps.com for their mailing needs. You print USPS-approved postage right from your PC. Sign up for Stamps.com and get a 4-week no-risk trial, which includes free postage and a free digital scale. And I know from experience, they stand behind those words, no risk. So come on down to DitKow.com and look for the Stamps.com sign-up offer.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh, yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that poor Zingit!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We are between events here in the sports world. We are past the last golf major, and we're up against the next golf major, which is the PGA Championship. We'll give you that recap next week with our friends John and Mike. You just heard from them a week ago. So we got to do something in between. The trade deadline is not here yet, so we will open the floor for some fun with our friend Ron in New Jersey, who was kind enough to join us here for a special random questions program. We haven't done it in a while, have we? It's been a long time. So I had a lot of stuff planned for the open of this program. And, you know, the thing about this show is that I know that if I had attempted it, I would have ended up with, like, it would have been pretty kind of contrived. So I decided, let's not do it. The thing that makes it so great is the spontaneity of the program. And with our friend Ron in New Jersey, we can continue being spontaneous with America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting. No Kevin tonight once again, and it is good stuff with our kids club collaborator Ron in New Jersey. Ron, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on with us tonight. How's it going, buddy?
David, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great. I we're having a good week here. Boy, the summer is really just going boom like that. What's new with you?
Well, you know, same old. Dealing with the family, and you're right, summer is flying by. It is. Next week will be August, and before you know it, we'll be enjoying some pumpkin lattes at Starbucks.
Love those pumpkin lattes. Absolutely. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, yeah, I forgot about your like of Starbucks. It's been a while since we've talked on the phone, so pretty good stuff. Anything that in Starbucks that you find notable in addition to all the other things?
You know, I'm pretty straightforward with my Starbucks order. It's usually just a tall coffee unless I'm feeling, extra special one day. But you can't go wrong at Starbucks. You really can't. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but, a nice tall cup of coffee at Starbucks will do you good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I keep it simple, too, for the most part. I tend to just do whatever the brew is. Just get a plain old drip coffee. That's my beat.
Absolutely.
So good. So are you pretty good with all the blends? Are there any that stand out to you?
It doesn't really make a difference to me. I'm not a huge fan of the lighter blends like the blonde. Mm-hmm. But any of the roast of the day, the Sumatra, anything dark, I tend to enjoy. The holiday blends, love the holiday blend.
Oh, that's right, it's a good one.
Looking forward to the Thanksgiving blend. I think last year it was out.
They do for like 3 days.
Maybe the day after Halloween. Yeah. Yeah. The Thanksgiving blend is there and gone before you know it. But it's, I'll quote you, it's good stuff. When you get a chance to have it, it's good stuff.
Absolutely. I love that blend, too. It's a great selection. Very cool, my friend. Now, I know you have some exciting news from within the family. I know that you At the last time we spoke, back during the Kids Club podcast, you were saying you were expecting a third child. How are things going? I hope I didn't miss the boat. Is it still in progress?
No, he's actually, we had our third child, my second son, Trey, back in February.
Wonderful.
He's 6 months old now.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's great.
Time flies, man. Time flies.
Definitely. Definitely. That's really cool. So kudos to Trey and welcome to the world, my friend.
Yeah. Yep. He's a hellfire. He keeps us on our toes, but you know, everything's good, and you know, that's all I care for.
That's wonderful, Mike. That's really wonderful. Cool. So let's then get into it with random questions for this feature. I have asked around our buddies for some questions, and they were kind to oblige with these questions. And so you'll be hearing from a lot of our fellow friends from the MikeFrancesa.com universe and the podcast universe, too, because they've all been on the show as well. So
I love it.
Good stuff. We begin with your fellow Kids Clubbers. So we start with Checker, a.k.a. John in Connecticut, and he asks,
nice.
Who is a big sleeper to make the college football playoff this season? That's a great question.
It is a great question, and you know, I'll give you a little background on that. For some reason, I'm looking forward to this upcoming season more than I think the previous years. And I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's because there's so many great returning players. I mean, if you think about it, Deshaun Watson is going to be, you know, he's the next Michael Vick, as far as I'm concerned, in college, meaning he's a must-watch. You know, like our friend Andy says, every game that Clemson plays is a show. So you have him, you have Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen we're watching grow up. There's so many good players that I'm really stoked for this year. So I've been, you know, I got the Phil Steele publication, I got the Sporting News. So I've been studying for a long time. So I actually do have a pick for a sleeper, and my pick for the sleeper this year is the TCU Horned Frogs.
TCU.
I really like them this year. I'm not a big believer in Oklahoma. You know, I know we discussed that last year on the podcast. I think they're overrated going into the season. And if you think about TCU, and I know they lost Trevon Boykin, they were decimated by injuries last year.
Right,
I mean, I think I read at one point they lost nine of the starters on defense for the year. So they were playing with a whole bunch of backups and young kids, and they still finished the season. I think they were 10-3. And if you remember the that great bowl game against Oregon where they were losing by 35, and they still came back and pulled off that massive comeback, won in overtime. We know Gary Patterson's a good coach. All those guys who had to play last year because of injuries are more experienced now this year. And even though they lose Boykin, they have a transfer from Texas A&M, Kenny Hill, who you might remember a couple of years ago was the guy who replaced Johnny Manziel. And everybody was saying he was going to be better than Manziel. He had a couple of good games, got hurt, lost his job, never played again. He transferred. He's in TCU now. So I really like them. Their schedule's easy. I would watch out for them as a sleeper pick this year.
Looking good. They certainly have had their head in the bowl picture for the last 3 years. So this could be a very fun watch this year. And we'll get into more detail on that as we do our college football preview in just a couple weeks. Wow. Kim, we're right up against it.
Right around the corner. It's crazy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So John will join us for that. So thanks to John for the question. And up next from the Kids Club, Andy in Seattle. He asks, what is more Sheeran? Experts in college football telling everyone to watch out for Tennessee every year. Or... or the same blowhards on the board soaking about Trump daily.
Oh my God, that's a great question. That is a great question. You know, maybe it's because I see it every day, but the blowhards on the board. And trust me, it's not just about Trump. I mean, it's about everything that you think you know is wrong. You know, we always post that wrong. But my God, you know, God forbid you mention gun control, you're getting it jumped right back in your face, buddy. My God, what did I say? What did I write the other day? I said I worry about terrorism, you know, I have three kids who are 5 years and under, and said I worried about terrorism and got killed for it.
Still got killed
for
it.
Jesus, I did. I got killed for suggesting that terrorism is something that I worry about, you know, so blowhards on the board bother me more than Tennessee will always be thought of as a sleeper. We know how that story goes, mm-hmm. but the blowhards, especially in an election year, I cannot wait until it's over.
Me too. I can't wait either. I've been pretty clear about that, and I'm getting those potatoes ready just in case things do turn out for the worst.
Right. Dave, you are a gem. If I could run away and start a potato farm, I think I'd be there with you, buddy.
Yep, just planning ahead, my friend. All right. All right, let's get to the next question. Here we go. Oh, this is a great question. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to get this right away. We still have other questions from our guests. So here's a question from your brother. You ready for this? Leo slash, I guess his name is Ray in real life. So
Yeah.
Okay. Ray asks, why do you eat so much sushi?
that is a great question. Yeah, I said it today. If I had to pick one type of food that I had to eat for the rest of my life every single day, I would pick sushi.
I see.
And I do. I like it. I really enjoy it. He is. I'll give you some background on Leo. He is about 6'4", about 295 pounds. I'm a big guy. He dwarfs me.
Wow.
And his hate for sushi is strictly based around the fact that he could eat probably 15 rolls and not get full.
Wow.
So in his eyes, sushi is meaningless because it will not fill him up, and that's what he eats for.
Got you. Makes sense. Yeah, I see that angle. Now, on the subject of sushi, what is your favorite roll? Do you have a favorite type of sushi?
Oof, good question. You know what? I would say I'll try anything. Honestly, I'll try anything. But the one sushi place that we go to, and I know we've discussed this before, me and Andy share a hatred of celery.
That's right. I forgot about
that. So for some reason, I do not like celery, but there is a sushi place by us that will make a roll, and it's probably standard in a lot of sushi places, but it's you could get whatever you want inside, usually spicy tuna, something like that, but it's wrapped completely. Instead of rice, it's in avocado. And with the ponzu sauce, it's to die for. It's killer. I could probably eat three or four of those rolls and die happy.
Very nice. Good. Yeah, I mean, that's what's cool about sushi. There's a lot of different variety, and they even have like rolls named after things, named after teams. Like, you probably were around Boston sometime in your lifetime. Have you ever been to Boston?
Absolutely.
And now, if you've ever been to sushi, I wonder if they've had a Red Sox roll or a Fenway roll or something like that. Bet you they have.
I've been to Boston many times. I don't think I've gotten sushi in Boston, but obviously, you know, regardless of where you go, you're going to get the local rolls or whatever, you know, they call it. You know, I know around here you'll definitely see a Yankee roll everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Usually overpriced and made
just
of
like the Yankees.
shitty products. But And I'll tell you what, Dave. I'll tell you the worst sushi experience I've ever had in my life. You've heard of Nobu, obviously.
I've heard of Nobu. Yeah, yeah.
Nobu is like a very famous sushi place in New York, but they branched out and they opened up. You know, there's probably one in L.A. There's probably one in Las Vegas. But we took a vacation to the Bahamas 1 year and stayed at Atlantis, and they opened up a Nobu there, and it was probably the worst, most overpriced sushi I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Which is disappointing, because you go to Nobu thinking you're getting and paying for, you know, one of the best meals you'll ever eat, and it was subpar at best.
Gee, wow, that's a surprise, definitely. Especially on an island, you'd think, well, okay, fish would be no problem here, but not so. Interesting.
Yeah, it was. Maybe it was just the night that we went, but definitely would not go back there again.
Okay, woo, yes. So the Biebs has spoken on that one. Very well. All right, good stuff on the sushi. Very cool. And you'll notice that that's one of my catches. I've noticed that, I mean, I say good stuff too much. It's a crutch, I know. And lately, I wrote this on the blog, but I also say look at that now a lot. And I've got to calm down, man. This is just too much. Okay.
Yeah, from making, you know, fake vid posts and stuff like that, I find myself in real life when I was expecting it. Interjecting good stuff.
That's fantastic. But,
never change, Dave. Never change.
All right, buddy. You got it, my friend. Interesting question. This from PFO, a.k.a. Keith, in Connecticut. He asks, which word do you like using more, soak or gotcha?
I would say gotcha. You know, gotcha stems from, I think Leo actually started it. You know, our buddy Gator on the board, he gets a little ornery sometimes when you when you mess with his team. So I don't know what Leo did, my brother did, to upset him, but one day out of the blue, Gator just went off on the New Jersey Devils for some reason. In the midst of, you know, one of the seasons when the Devils are finishing last place and nobody ever talked about them. So Gator went off on, you know, like a 3 or 4 paragraph rant, you know, just, you know, telling my brother off and saying how bad the Devils were. And Leo responded with, gotcha.
Nice.
That was it, and you know, we picked up on it, and you know, whenever I see that, I chuckle in my head, you know, thinking back to where it started.
Oh man, that's funny. I know what that comes from. That's pretty wild. Okay, so next question from Leo. He asks, where is it here? Okay, he asks, was your brother a good role model?
Was he a good role model?
Yeah, was he a good role model?
I'll be honest with you, he's a good role model. He was definitely a good role model. He always kept he always kept out of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always had his head in the books. Yeah, absolutely. He's a good role model. I've nothing bad to say about him. You know, he's my gym partner for years. You know, definitely kept me in line. So I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a good role model.
Very cool. Very well said. Very well said. Let's go on to the next question. And let's see, where are we at? Okay, so this is a question, and I'll add a follow-up to it. Question from Utter Disaster, a.k.a. Lou in Hoboken. He asks,
nice.
What caused you to be a Red Sox fan?
Oh, good question. My father was actually from the Massachusetts area. He grew up, he was born in Vermont, and he moved to East Bridgewater, Massachusetts, where he grew up and stayed until his teenage years when he moved to New Jersey. So growing up, my dad wasn't a big sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have favorite teams in football or hockey or anything like that, but he did like the Red Sox. So that is the one team that I took from him. And when I was a kid, you know, in school, I was surrounded by a lot of obnoxious kids who were fans of the typical New York teams.
Right.
The Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, the Knicks. And I kind of rebelled against that. And actually, in my formative years, when I first started like liking sports and trying to pick teams, it was around 85, 86 when I was 5, 6 years old. And just the it was the year when the Mets were in the World Series against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a natural fit, you know, to go against the kids who, you know, loved the Mets then. Now, you know, then they turned into Yankee fans.
Yeah, but, I bet you they did.
Oh, I mean, come on. You know, back then, I don't think I ever saw a Yankee hat. Mm-hmm. You fast forward 10 years and the Mets hats got thrown out the window.
But it was
just natural to pick them, especially right. with my family's background. And, you know, it was tough for a while, but it's fun being a Red Sox fan now.
That is, and it certainly is. And I know that during the fall when you were on with Andy and me, you had detailed how you were talking about that 2004 comeback. And you mentioned, I think whether, I don't know if it was game 7 of the ALCS or what game it was, but I think that was it. And you were saying like that was like the greatest game of your life up to that point, because that really, more than anything, was the turning point. Just beating them, beating the Yankees and coming back the way that you did, that you all did as a franchise. And I just think that was, that stuck with me because I'm like, man, I mean, the kind of vindication that comes with that after about a century of losing out to the same team and those, let's say, those spoiled kids always going after you after games because of the Yankees or whatever. I never forgot it because I'm like, that's like one of the great sports stories ever. Like when you're going through a fan base and you've dealt with that, you dealt with 86, you dealt with Buckner, you've dealt with the one game play with other things over the years, Bucky Dent was before our time, but you get the idea, like that sort of thing. You, I mean, 2003, you know, you had Boone's home run.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to go from Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It was such a strange feeling because it was so cathartic to watch it. It was almost surreal. Like, it sounds stupid saying it, but it was almost like an out-of-body experience because you're watching a game where you don't think the Red Sox are going to win. I never in my wildest dreams thought the Red Sox were going to win that game. Based on, you know, like you said, 2003, Buckner, every other year where they shit the bed. And especially against the Yankees, especially coming down, coming back from 3-0, it was like you're in an out-of-body experience, not knowing how to react, especially, you know, the first inning when they go up early and then Damon hits the grand slam and, you know, they're up 7-0, whatever it was early. You almost can't believe it. But as the game goes on, it's really like a weight is just lifted off of your shoulders. And I know that sounds silly coming from, you know, a fan, but to deal with all that torture and the heartaches for up to that point, you know, 20 years of being a fan, it was surreal. It really was. And, you know, honestly, if they had gone on to lose the World Series that year, I would have been all right. Knowing that they had done that and overcome the ghosts of Yankee Stadium and the whole Yankee bullshit that I dealt with my whole life. And it was a surreal moment. It wasn't until and they killed him that game. I can't even remember what the final score was, but I wasn't able to actually enjoy it until that final out. You know, then you almost snap back into reality and you realize, like, holy shit, they did it. They did it. What do we do now? You know,
very, very. That can I can't even imagine it. Like, what do you do? Like that's very new, very fresh, very unique and. At least for the time, and so I could always appreciate that sort of moment. And I always thought that things like that would be permanent, like the Red Sox not winning in 86 years, or the White Sox or the Cubs not winning ever, stuff like that. And I think these last 15 years proved to all of us that truly anything in sports is possible. I mean, look at the Cubs today. Who's going to stop? Who's to say they can't win a World Series? No one's thinking, well, they had that goat thing in 1908, and like, it's not going to happen. Like, no, I mean, they absolutely could win a World Series. They're a great team, and they even made the trade for Chapman. So that it all started with the Red Sox. I really do. I think that was where it began.
Yeah, you know, and I think I think some fan bases, and especially with the Red Sox and the Cubs, they pride themselves on the heartbreaks and not being able to overcome the losing. You know, obviously you want to see your team win a championship, but it's almost treated like a badge of courage. And I did. You know, after 2004, it was really weird to be a Red Sox fan and almost have bragging rights. You know, and then the they did it twice more, and it's just a very strange feeling because you see a lot of people jump on the bandwagon that definitely weren't there before, and you almost. And I think I've mentioned this before, but you almost don't take losses as hard as you used to. So, I mean, they've won 3 World Series in, 10 years. If they made the World Series this year and lost to a better team, obviously you'd be upset, but it makes it easier to handle, It's a very strange feeling because up until that point, I mean, every loss, even in the regular season, if they lost a close game, I mean, you would take it hard, like it was life or death. And now it's almost like you get to sit back and relax and actually enjoy the games. And it's very weird to see how the fan base changes with that.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And I know that this happens in the NFL too, with the Bills in particular. Like, they just haven't won squat. And it's been so long.
Or the Jets.
Jets, too. Good example. I was thinking about whether to go there, and I think you do go there, right? I mean, it's been quite a while, certainly since the merger. So,
69,
absolutely.
Yeah,
69. Long time. That's almost 50.
I don't know what I would do with myself if the Jets won, if the Jets even made a Super Bowl. You know, it's something that you think about, and I can't picture it. So, hopefully I get to see it one day in my life, but you never know.
You never know, absolutely. And, especially with the way the NFL is economically, I think, truly, again, anything is possible. So it'll be really fun to see if that does happen for real. And who knows where the Jets would be by that point, It'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. Let's see. Next question, and this is the follow-up. So you're a Red Sox fan, and you are over in Red Bank in New Jersey. How did your brother become a Dodgers fan? That's what I was interested to know. Is there a story behind that?
He, this ties back to the role model question. He was the exact same way I was. He's 7 years older than me. So I took a lot of what he taught me, when I was growing up, and he went with whoever the rival was of the New York teams. And when he was really formulating his fandom, the Dodgers were in the World Series against the Yankees in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked the Dodgers and he stuck with it, which is, it was definitely cool growing up because the Dodgers were always, a team making moves. And, obviously I always, I rooted for them, because he was such a big fan, and I still do, I consider them my second team. And I remember, back in the day before the internet, I remember him, getting all the box scores from, the late games in the papers, and he would cut them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He would cut them out and, make scrapbooks of them and keep up with the team that way. And, he's not, he just doesn't say he's a Dodger fan, and when they win, he watches the games. I mean, he's a tried and true Dodger fan.
I agree, and I believe it. I mean, I talk Dodgers with them like every day. I text them when I'm not on the board, and when I'm on the board, we chat about it. And It's fun that we have someone from the board who's also a Dodger fan. So, like, I can really get into nuts and bolts. Like, I couldn't do that with anybody else in the board, I don't think. Maybe Andy, but not to that degree. So it's really cool to have that connection.
Yeah, it's surprising that there's not more Dodger fans. Because even going around here in New Jersey, New York, you know, you always see Dodger hats, I guess, from the days when they were tied to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised there's not more Dodger fans on the board, to be honest with you.
Maybe one or two would have been fun to follow, but, well, I guess it didn't work out. Now, here's a funny idea. What if the Red Sox and the Dodgers made the World Series? Would there be some friendly wager going on between you two?
Probably not. Because we both take sports a little too serious. I know in football when the Jets play the Chiefs, and I don't know how he became a Chiefs fan. I'll admit that.
That's that one's out of the blue. Was he inspired by? Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you how. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't even know. But whenever the Jets played the Chiefs, you know, it was we both stayed in our own separate rooms and didn't talk to each other because it got a little nasty depending on the outcome of the game. You know.
Got you. Good times. All right, so let's move on to our next series of questions, and here we go. This from Umberto's Clam House. He says, one word, Breezango.
I love Umberto's. He's absolutely one of the funniest guys I think I've ever come across in my life. and I'm jealous that you guys get to go to the get to hang out and go to Padres games, Dodger games. You guys got to go to the Home Run Derby, right? Futures game you went to?
We went to the Futures game, yeah. And that was really great. Like, I really had fun with it. And there's, you know, I didn't realize just how much talent is involved in this game. It is really good. Like, these guys, almost like half the team at the minimum, will end up having an impact in Major League Baseball, like, in a couple years. So I realized that it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I went back and I was looking at, like, the past MVPs and stuff like that, and almost all the guys who won the MVP of the future game, you know, turned out to be something in Major League Baseball. You know, maybe not all the time a huge star, but you know them. Mm-hmm. And they actually made it to the big league. So, yeah, I was watching, obviously, for Moncada and the other Red Sox players. So I was jealous that you guys were there.
Yeah, Moncada looked great, man. I finally got to see what this guy was like playing, and man, he is good. I can't get over that.
He's the real deal. You know, I can't wait to see what position he actually goes to and how they bring him up. Because I mean, he's crushing the ball in Double-A. I mean, what's the next step?
Yeah,
you know, I would think that he should be up with the team next year. I would hope at a spring training, but if not, definitely one of those early season call-ups. But he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is an interesting but good problem to have. Like, it's a problem you want to have. Like, where are you going to put him? Because you've got a lot of other talented guys already on the field. So where do you put the guy? Like, when it's that good, when a guy is that good, the team's going to figure it out. They'll work it out. You know, it's not going to be so bad that, you know, they can move Bogarts and make maybe one spot if he's an outfielder. Is Bogarts an outfielder or is he an infielder? I forgot which one he was, but
he's a shortstop. But,
oh, okay, he's a shortstop. So let's say he moves him like over one, you know, something like that.
Yeah, like you said, they can always move somebody around. You know, you see the Astros doing it now with another guy who had a big game in that Futures game, Alex Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
They just called him up. He plays shortstop. They have Correa there. He can't go to second because Altuve's there. They have a pretty stacked outfield, so they moved him to third now. And, you know, they signed that Cuban third baseman, so when he comes to the team, they're going to move him to the outfield. So you always are able to find room for talent, and like you said, it's always a good problem to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Astros just did not have it this year. I thought that they were going to make a run here in the second half, and they looked terrible. I mean, honestly, they just played themselves right out of this thing. I mean, they were getting clobbered. I mean, the Yankees shut them down. It was just, I think that's it for them, don't you think?
You know, they might have another run in them. They're a very streaky team because they you look at the lineup and there's no holes in the lineup. They just need to get, you know, decent starting pitching. They almost remind me of the Red Sox this year where, you know, 1 through 9 in their lineup can hit. It's just finding enough consistent starting pitching to actually put together, you know, a 9-10 game winning streak or, you know, a run like that to get them over the hump. I think they could still get there, but they need to figure out that pitching for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it didn't help that Keuchel had such a brutal beginning to his year. I mean, it's brutal.
Oh, he was horrible. Yeah.
And it's a big surprise because, like, he was lights out last year and he was effectively their ace. Now he's got a 4.5 ERA. It's like, it's hard to imagine how that could have come apart so quickly.
It's weird, you know. He 3 years ago, he was horrible. I think he lost, like 18 or 19 games, something like that. And then he came back and, you know, put together a decent season and then came back last year and put together a Cy Young season. And now he's kind of regressing. So who's the real Dallas Keuchel? Who's the real pitcher? Is it the guy who lost 19 games or is it the Cy Young guy? He's very up and down.
It's a great question, and it's a question I had with Cliff Lee at one point in time, but then he wound up being pretty good. Like, he never tailed off, but I thought, you know, he had such a great year, and I don't remember him being this good before. Is this just a one-year deal? But he wound up being the real thing. Here you have a guy who had a big year, but then it isn't just a one-year thing.
You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, pitching is kind of old style that way, honestly. It's really hard to tell.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, next.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's never any telling. Okay, next question. Here it is. I had written some questions as well, so here they are for you.
Okay.
And the first one I had, I don't know if we're going to spend much time on this because I think the answers now are pretty obvious, but I asked, what inspired your original screen name, Brad Benson's Ad Agency? And you shortened it. some backstory if you'd like.
It was just the constant airings of those Brad Benson commercials that, I mean, it will make you want to punch somebody in the face listening to them. I mean, they were just so god-awful bad. And I don't know if you get to hear them now.
No, they're gone. They are off the street.
They are gone, and he's been replaced by Sean O'Hare.
Wow.
Who bought into his dealership, and it almost makes you yearn for the days of Brad Benson talking about his giant 60-foot erection. You know, because it does not get much duller than Sean O'Hare talking about selling used cars. So,
yes.
But that's where it came from. They used to play it every head break. I mean, it was just redundant. It was so terrible.
You're right. They played that thing every single commercial
break.
All the time. And they have like four different ones every week, and it's just, excruciatingly
ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, the Golden Triumvirate in the salad days of the Mike Dupp program back in, 2009. You had Brad Benson. You had Cars for Kids. You have Celino and Barnes. I think Celino and Barnes is still doing spots, but and obviously.
Oh, they're still going strong.
Yeah. There's no stopping. They do them over here now. Both of those guys. Can you believe that? I mentioned this already to our friend Yachts, but they are so big that they now have branches in LA and other cities. So we hear both of those guys on our local station, which is just a trip. Like,
well, I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it. Obviously, they're doing super right with their advertising.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so that's a pretty good background. And now, next up, who is the wackiest gym member you've seen this year? And you've had some great stories, so I'm curious as to which one has been your number one Mongo of the year at the gym.
Well, there is an easy question for me. I was going with my wife. I would take her with me to work out. And this is about the time when she was probably 6-7 months pregnant. So you have me walking around with a pregnant woman minding our own business. You know, we don't bother anybody. We stick to ourselves. And there was this Mongo guy. I mean, you could tell this guy's got a screw loose in his head. You know, always scruffy. Looks like he hasn't shaved or cut his hair in weeks. You know, full sweatpants outfit. And the one day I'm wearing a Red Sox T-shirt. Yeah, obviously, you know, I have no problem telling people I'm a Red Sox fan. You know, it's fucking sports. I mean, right. Really, you know, get over it, you know. So I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt, and this guy, I notice he's staring at me for a while. He's got his headphones on, and he starts muttering to himself. He starts walking back and forth, pacing around me, and he starts muttering to himself just a whole bunch of things. He's like, who does this guy think he fucking is? He think he fucking is? Not on my fucking watch. Not on my watch. The fucking Red Sox? Does he know where he lives? This is un-fucking acceptable. I will kill this motherfucker here right now. So that went on for about a good 10, 15 minutes. Oh, and so I'm sitting there with my wife, and I'm asking her, like, you know, I think he might do something, you know. What the fuck's wrong with this guy? And she, you know, God bless her, she looked dead at him and just started cracking up. Started laughing in his face. And he got so angry that he left the gym. And on his way out, he yelled at the random 15-year-old girl who was at the front desk. He yelled at her, somebody better do something about this motherfucker before I come back and kill him. And he stormed out of the gym. It bothered him that much that he stormed out of the gym.
Oh, goodness.
And he left.
He left.
And he left.
Now, oh, go ahead.
And I'll give you a follow-up to that. He's obviously the guy's insane, but...
Right.
Fast forward a couple months and I'm working out and there's a kid there, maybe 13, 14 years old, wearing a Boston Celtics jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this kid is a Boston Celtics fan. It was a Garnett jersey. You know, maybe he just liked Garnett. I don't know. But the same guy was in there.
Oh, no.
And boy, he did not like that. And... So I'm sitting about two or three machines away from the kid, but I'm watching it all happen. And
yeah.
He walks up to the 13-year-old kid and, you know, picture this guy is probably in his mid-30s. And he tells him, almost in a joking manner, like, do you know where you're from? And the kid looks at him, laughs, and he's like, okay, yeah. And he goes, no. Do you know where you're from? And the kid's like, yes. And he goes, well, if you know where you're from, get that motherfucking Boston Celtics jersey off your fucking body right now or I'll fucking kill you. And the kid got up and left.
Wow.
The kid got up and left. It was, to think that there's people like that in the world is scary and
is.
At the same time entertaining to see.
This is something else.
Yeah, I see him frequently. I don't think he remembers who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember him, and I will try to take a picture the next time that I see him.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, so what I was going to ask, basically, the only follow-up I have to that is, like, is he really big enough where he could put any serious damage if he actually wanted to fight you? Because you're a big dude.
No. But he was definitely someone who has a screw loose in his head,
right?
And probably would he would probably use a weight as a weapon, or probably has a knife in his sweatpants or something. I mean, obviously, the guy wasn't all there, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think twice because you know if the guy really did bother me, I would say something to him.
Sure.
But the entire time I'm thinking like this guy is a fucking whack job. And, you know, if I did say something to him, he's probably got, you know, maybe he's a big fan of starting pitcher. Maybe he's got a gun in his car, you know? I don't know.
That is true. Good point.
I don't know.
You never know. You never know. So
yep.
It's not worth your time. Like, I kind of get that. We get plenty of wackos out in the streets out here, too. So, you know, sometimes it's so off base.
They're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no avoiding it. So, you know, keeping it cool, high road, always the way to go in these situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
I've got kids. I don't want to... I don't want to end up in jail because some guy doesn't like I'm a better murder suspect, you know?
Our friend Yachts is going to really enjoy this part of the show. Yeah, I can't wait. All right, so let's see. So when you're at the gym, Ron in New Jersey, here with us on the Random Questions, what is your favorite part of your lifting routine?
Good question. That's a tough one. I like doing my favorite exercise or my favorite body part to lift is probably chest, just because it's old school. But really, I honestly think the best part of the gym is just, for me at least, it's just releasing stress. You know, it's you know, everybody has their own way to release stress. Some people you know, smoke a blunt. Some people, you know, will make a nice drink for themselves when they get home. Yeah, I was never into that. So I go to the gym. And, you know, it's a good 45 minutes to an hour, and you feel instantly better afterwards. And definitely helps you blow off steam in a good way. You know, especially after a long day at work or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think any of us who've done exercise can attest to that as well. Running, swimming, you know, jumping,
sure, yeah.
Anything really. Baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. You get lost in your own world, and you know, and when you're done, you instantly feel better. You know,
it's pretty cool. Very good, my friend. So let's see. Up next, who was your favorite wrestler growing up, and who is your favorite now?
Oh, great question. Growing up, it was it's a tie between two. It was either the Ultimate Warrior or the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, I like
that. Absolutely, two of the most insane people in real life. but yeah, when I was a kid, I loved those guys. Today, I mean, I watch it just because. You know, I've always watched it. I don't know if I have a favorite. Jeez, it's hard to say.
It's true, huh?
You know,
we've been talking about this.
First of all, it's hard to say that you enjoy watching wrestling when you're in your mid 30s.
Yeah.
I'll give you a real answer. I'd probably say it's the guy AJ Styles who just came over to the no, you know what? No, it's not. It's Shinsuke Nakamura from Japan. Just came over to the WWE or WWF, whatever the fuck it is, earlier this year. But he's a big star in Japan. Probably gonna be a big star here. Love watching that guy.
Cool. I've not seen him, so it'll be interesting to check out if I'm ever bouncing around looking for wrestling, whenever that happens. Good stuff. Nakamura.
Yeah.
So we'll probably hear from him in the next few pay-per-view events then?
He's down in their development system now, NXT, basically carrying, you know, they're a touring brand now. They just started a WWE network in Japan, which is the reason why they signed him. But yeah, by next WrestleMania, he'll definitely be up. Probably be one of the main event guys. If you ever see us on the board, you know, me and Cap will usually type something like Yacht Nakamura, something stupid like that. Yeah. That's where it comes from.
Cool. Well, it's good to know about that. That fills in a blank for me. So pretty cool. All right, let's see. Up next, let's see. Who do you think is the most underrated coach in college football right now?
Wow. Underrated coach. Easy one that comes straight to the top of my head, Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern. I mean, that guy doesn't get enough credit. I mean, Northwestern is a shit shit program. They run the option, which is, there's three or four teams that run the option efficiently, Navy, Army, sometimes Georgia Tech and Northwestern. But he gets the most, in my opinion, the most out of the least amount of talent out of any coach in college football. Last year they won 10 games. They won 10 games with two and three star prospects. He's definitely number one on my list. Number two is probably Gary Patterson from TCU. I'm surprised that a bigger school hasn't tried to snatch him away. Even an NFL team, I'm surprised that you never hear his name. You usually hear the standard guys like Stoops and David Shaw. Guys who probably would be in and out of the NFL in a year. And I think Gary Patterson and Patrick Sherrill are two coaches who could probably make a name for themselves in the NFL.
Ooh, and I do regard him as a good coach. I mean, certainly he's, as you mentioned, he's kind of in a similar position. Like, he gets the most out of whoever he has on his roster. And you brought this up in the earlier part of the program, how they were decimated by injuries, and yet they still managed to get 10 wins and even had a monumental bowl comeback. And so definitely good times for him. And I think Patterson's been there a while, right? Because when TCU went over and they won their first Rose Bowl, and I think it was against Wisconsin. This is before they were part of the Big 12. And so it was a really wild, it really gets to show you just how special he can be at his coaching acumen.
Yeah, they were another team who was a terrible program. And if you remember, he built them up through the defense. He had a six defensive scheme there, and got them turned around in a couple of years based completely on the defense. And then he evolved and started the wide open offense, and guys like Trevon Boykin, who was a Heisman contender last year. He definitely. He's one of the defensive guys, almost like a Frank Beamer was, but he really knows how to utilize the offensive talent on his team, which is impressive.
Oh, absolutely, very impressive. And when it comes to a big game, especially a bowl game, they have shown up so well. I remember when they were snubbed from the national championship 2 years ago, and they came out and they trashed. Was it Ole Miss? I think it was Ole Miss. Completely trashed them, just destroyed them on one of those New Year's Eve or New Year's Day bowl games.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of it, last year's game against Oregon, I want to say it was the Alamo Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. But I mean, they had no right to be in that game or even want to play in that game. And Oregon's killing them. I mean, up and down the field. And credit to him. Halftime comes and, they pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college football history, and definitely was my favorite bowl game of last year. I mean, that was, by the end of it, even if you weren't a TCU fan, I mean, you're on the edge of your seat, rooting for them to win the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it completely took me by surprise. I gave up on the game. I'm like, moved on to a movie, came back, and holy moly, we're in overtime. Like, it was just nuts. So, a special game for sure.
Yep.
All right, so let's see. We have a couple others left over. Here we go. Which member of the board would you most like to meet in person? So if you've met him already, or him or her, it's probably not a her, but let's say him or her. If you have not met this person yet, which member of the board would you be most intrigued most intrigued at meeting for the first time?
Definitely too. Number one is Dave Medina.
Oh, me!
I mean, the living legend. I mean, and I regret that. When you were here last time, the schedules didn't match up. But definitely you and the captain. Yeah, I talk to the captain almost daily, and I mean, he right now he's got a shore house 10 minutes from where I live, and it's just, it's hard to sync up with him because he's, we're in different places in our lives. I've got three young kids and a wife, and he's out getting hammered at DJs every night. So, you know, it's hard to, I mean, there's a lot of guys. I'd love to meet the Junk Man. I mean, his just from hearing him through the years on your show, I mean, you talk about a guy with life stories. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'd love to get that guy in a bar, you know, for an hour and just hear what he's gone through, for sure. There's a lot of guys.
I mean, I agree with you there. There are a lot of guys you can turn to, and I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of them too. And to your point about Junkman, he absolutely will deliver on that point. If you meet him at a bar, which I did, I had the privilege of being at a bar with him. The stories come, and he is just a fun guy to be with and to talk to. So, if you do have the chance, you will not regret meeting Kevin on the Cape, aka the Junkman. It's pretty cool.
I'm gonna you know, look out for his food truck one day.
And, lobster truck too, right?
Him and, yeah. What's that?
It's a lobster truck too, right? So are you a lobster?
Yeah.
Nice.
I love lobster. I love lobster rolls. Whatever he's selling, I'm buying.
I love it.
It's, you know, the Cape is not that far away, so one day I'll get up there and check his stuff out.
Pretty cool. And for Captain, I know that he is organizing that Bar A meetup, and
right, yeah,
that should be good. Let me see if they can get some people to turn out for that. So if you guys meet up there, that'd be awesome. Like to see a picture of the two of you, that would be fun. So hopefully that happens.
Oh, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I think Cap is probably the guy on the board who's most close to me in terms of what we like, and you know, there's a lot of shit on there that I think, you know, when I write something, it's specifically for him because I know me and him are the only ones who are going to get it, and I like to sit back and think like the old curmudgeons, like you know, like LT or Gator, they must be looking at that shit and just thinking to themselves like, who what the fuck are these guys talking about? You know? But that's the great part of it, right? I mean, there's guys from every walk of life, every age, and, you know, it makes it interesting every day.
It does. It was more so, I'm sure, years ago, but it's still got a decent, right? I mean, it kind of used to have a little more diversity back in the day, but, what are you going to do?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, now it's down to, you know, what, 15, 20 guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still gets you through the day going on there, so I have no complaints.
All righty. So let's see. Now, staying with the subject of the board, sort of related, because Mike Francesa is going to go in his last year next year, 2017. That's going to be it. When he goes off the air, will you continue to listen to WFAN?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just out of habit, you know. I'm old school. I like, you know, I'm like those old Mongos. If you remember when they went, when they switched over from AM to FM, and you had the old guys calling in, not knowing how to tune to an FM station, you know, but they had to learn because they had to listen to FAN, you know, and get their sports picks. I'm the same way. I'm a creature of habit, so when I go in the car, the first thing I do is turn on FAN, and, you know, obviously Michael be a big loss, but I could deal with Joe and Evan, or, you know, the rest of it is shit, though, to be honest with you. I mean, Boomer and Carton is one of the worst fucking shows I've ever heard in my life, and, you know.
You're not on the
train. The filling guys, you know, Melusis, Jones, I mean, just the worst,
right?
You know, just the worst. If they fill the time slots with those people, then yeah, I probably will cash out and give up the fan. But, you know, I'm hoping that that's just a summer thing.
I'm pretty sure it is. Now, many have speculated in that when it's all said and done, that Joe and Evan will be the next show, but will be the drive time show. I completely disagree. There's no way that's going to be the drive time show. That's not personality that can be worthy of a drive time slot. I think Evan by himself could be with somebody else, but not with Joe. I mean, Joe's gone. I think he's out of here. in like 2 years tops. So
I can't stand if you read me on the board, I can't stand Joe Benigno. You know, he's one of the main reasons why I hate Jet fans. You know, the woe is me. You know, we could never get anything right. He's a pain in the ass. But, you know, I don't know how true this is, and maybe I sound like Marquee here, but there's rumblings of Chris Christie replacing Mike with probably a partner to do the Drive Time show when Mike leaves. So take that for what you will.
Well, he's enough of a Mongo to make that work, so maybe. I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, he might be worth listening. I don't know. Did you hear him on the on the Fan, like when he was on? I didn't catch that. But did you?
I've heard like bits and pieces. He's an idiot. He's a doofus. I mean, if he got the slot, I probably wouldn't listen, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I think time will tell. I really don't think it's going to be something that easily distinguished. I think they might even go out of market. I feel like there's not going to be just some kind of sideways promotion for anybody, because there wasn't on, you know, for a lot of other shows. You know, Tonight Show, they didn't say, all right, well, Letterman's got the show before Carson, we'll have him do it. It wasn't that simple, was it? So you just never know. Like, so it's just a matter of time before we find out. I mean, and even like when they decided like who was going to get Letterman's show after the fact here on CBS, they didn't just say, all right, well, Craig Ferguson's doing the show after, why don't we have him do it? No, it didn't work out that way. And I think it was a wise choice. They went with Colbert, and Colbert's, I don't know what the ratings are, but it seems like he's got the cachet.
Wait, were you a Letterman guy, Dave?
I was a Letterman guy when he was funny. So back in the 90s, I kind of stopped about 15 years ago, so... but I have to repeat, he's a great interviewer, though. He's always been like a really sharp guy. Like, he's a very sharp mind, and I definitely appreciate it when he tried. Like, when he would try, he was very good. I know that during that whole Conan brouhaha with NBC, when NBC was jerking him around, he had these speeches, and Leno was trying to do that whole don't blame Conan thing, and he debunked that thing greatly. It was great. It's like those moments, he's really good, but most of the time, he was mailing it in. Like, he'd been doing that for about a decade now, so I guess yes is the short answer, but what anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was a point in his career where he just stopped caring, and I mean, it was just you could tell there was no input from Letterman on whatever material he was doing. It was all the writers on the show, and he, you know, you could tell he had no faith in what they were doing, his half-assed deliveries, and he stopped doing the skits that made him, you know, so watchable when he first started on CBS. And, he became a shell of himself.
It's very true. And I know a lot of that requires the physical prowess that he just didn't have at that age. Like, you don't realize. I mean, I didn't really sink into how old he was until, like, the last couple of years. He's old. He's an old dude. So you can look back and you can say, you know, yeah, he mailed it in for about a decade, but the career in total was incredible. Like, he really was he changed the face of television. I mean,
yeah, he was good.
Oh, yeah. Were you old enough to remember the NBC shows? Because I never saw them live, I never saw them first run, clearly, because I was like 10 when he was on back then. But did you ever see the NBC stuff?
I did, like, the last couple of years when he was on NBC. I shared a room actually with Leo for my whole life, and so he was, you know, he's older than me, so he stayed up late and watched that stuff, and I do remember, you know, watching the last years of him on NBC, and it was he was awesome back then, you know. He was cutting edge, he was you know, off the wall, he was, you know, every show was funny, and even when he first got to CBS, I mean, it was the same thing. It's you know, I think after that whole scandal with the producer chick that he was banging or whatever it was, I think that sucked the life out of him, and really, you know, honestly, I think he gave up after that.
That's an interesting call on the turning point. That's a pretty good analysis there, Ron. And I would say that I did finally get to see some of these old NBC shows back when they had this channel called Trio, and NBC actually owned it. Or maybe Comcast did, but this is before Comcast owned NBC, so I think it was an NBC Universal channel. was on DirecTV when I had it for the first time with my family and was watching some of these reruns, and that's when I really caught an idea, like, just how good it used to be. So I was fortunate to see some of it, but nothing like what a lot of people got to see. So I can only go through the prism of time and YouTube. And pretty good stuff. Who is your favorite host on TV right now? This is out of the top of my head. Like, is there any particular host you like?
I can't say that any of them is a must watch. I actually like Colbert better when he was on. When he did the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. If you line them all up, I'd probably still watch Conan. Even though his show isn't, half of what it used to be, but, right. It seems like it's trending now more towards, the Fallons and the, James Corden or whatever his name is, who, will get stuff trending on Twitter or a video.
Get it trending.
You get it trending, Umar.
Wow.
I mean, that's where the shows are,
right.
They're awful interviews. I mean, Jimmy Fallon is the worst interviewer I think I've ever seen in my life.
He's, yeah, I'm with you.
He's fawning over over whatever guest it is, for the majority of the interview. And, he puts out stuff that will go viral and get him attention. I think that's where it's trending now.
I really do. There are things about Jimmy Fallon's show that I love, and this goes back to when he was doing the late night show. He is full of ideas, and that's what I appreciate. Like, he's got some good ideas. Like, it's really fun. But like you said, the interviewing skills hold him back. He's too much of a panderer.
Yeah, he's. It could be someone from the Ghostbusters movie, and he's telling them how he saw it, and it was an Oscar worthy movie, But he's a genius with some stuff. When he does the music stuff, when he's Neil Young, when he does shit like that, it's genius, I don't think he gets enough credit for stuff like that.
He's incredibly talented, especially in his ability to do music, and like you said, he's done more than that too. He's done even additional stuff. I remember when he did a parody of The Doors as Jim Morrison singing the Reading Rainbow theme song.
Yeah.
It's gold.
He's a talented guy. I mean, he can piss you off, but he's a talented guy.
Yeah, got you there for sure. That's a great question. I'm glad I mentioned that. Oh, that's pretty cool. So, very good. So let's see. Last question then tonight. Would you like to formally join all of us next spring for the WWE WrestleMania podcast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
This party's getting huge.
I would have done it this year. The baby was obviously like a month old, and, it's hard to make a commitment to be a show when you don't know from minute to minute if the baby's gonna get up and start crying going nuts. But absolutely, I'd love to be on it next year.
Love it. Do the dance. That is gonna be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, where's it? It's next year. It's in Atlanta, right? I think. It's where did they have it this year?
This year it
Orlando?
Maybe it was Orlando, so it was Levi's the year before, right? But this year it was in, did I say Dallas? Yeah, it was in Dallas.
Dallas, yeah, you're right. Oh, God, what an awful show. an awful show. I mean, it was like 6 hours of just awfulness. just horrendous. But, hopefully they change it next year to something watchable,
right.
If you're putting out 6 hours of content and not hoping to burn people out, I mean, Jesus Christ, at least do something halfway watchable.
Yeah, well, they got a ways to go. So the bar is not set very high for this coming WrestleMania, whenever it is. So we will keep an eye on
that. Year was, I mean, this year was probably the worst that I've, you know, that I've ever seen. I remember, you know, watching, I'm staying up with the baby feeding in and putting that on it. I mean, it's putting me to sleep.
Wow.
You know, it was just god-awful. I hope you didn't have to watch that, Dave.
No, I think I was spared of that experience for wherever I was. So thankfully for that. But I'll be ready for this one. I'll prep it. I'll do the research like I usually do, and it'll be a good time. So we'll see.
Do you have the network, Dave?
No, I don't. I don't. Most of my material comes by way of just looking it up. Like, I just go to their website, and I go to other sources, and I get the material in that fashion. So I do not have the network. Isn't that not very expensive, right? It's only like a few dollars a month.
Yeah, it's $10 a month.
Okay.
But,
not too bad.
I mean, it's worth it, right? I mean, they have a pay-per-view every month, and, you know, you used to have to spend, you know. What are pay-per-views? How much do they cost now? I don't even know.
It's
what
a lot.
They,
it's
60,
a ton.
$60?
That's $60. It depends on which one.
There wasn't one of the last boxing ones like $100?
Yeah, I think there was some. It was close to that. I remember that.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, you really have to think about it. Like, when it's like this boxing match, it could end in 2 seconds. Like, at least with the wrestling, you know you're going to be in for 6 hours. Like, boxing, you don't know. Like, you just think it could be a round. Like, you could be done after like a half hour. So it just.
Absolutely, yeah. The UFC, too. I think the UFC ones are like $60 now. And you don't know what you're going to get on a UFC card. You know, it could be a shit fight, could be something that gets everybody talking, but, you know, it's it's crazy the way that's gone up in recent years.
Do you remember how stunning it was a few weeks ago when Bones Jones got disqualified from the UFC 200, and that's like their big milestone? They've been waiting for years for this thing, and then all of a sudden the guy that the big guy that was going to fight it just isn't even in the mix. That was ridiculous.
They I mean, if you think about it, he was he got suspended. Another guy dropped out or got hurt, and then you know, they filled the spot with Brock Lesnar, who won his fight after a 3 or 4 year absence. And it turns out that he was doping on the same stuff that John Jones got caught with.
Wow.
So it's not a good look for them. But hey, you know, they're doing something right. They just sold their company for, you know, $4 billion. So.
That is correct. They did, but don't you think that's kind of part of it? Like, they know that maybe we've peaked. Let's go ahead and sell the company.
Oh, I definitely think they peaked. You know, they don't have a lot of. They're not very good at making stars, because it is such a niche sport that, you know, a guy who looks like he's the best fighter in the world, you know, with one fight might get knocked out in 2 seconds 2 months later, you know. So it's hard to make it market stars when the playing field is so even between the fighters. So yeah, I definitely think they sold at the right time, because I don't see it getting any bigger.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable point. I feel the same. I think that, you know, if they're selling at this point, I think they've really maximized the amount of profit they can make out of this venture. So we'll see if it that holds or not. Well, it'll be interesting. But, you know, 20 years of in the making, and I think, you know, everything has its peak and it has its valley and it has its crest, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they'll probably still stick around and, you know, might go through a down period and, you know, might catch lightning in a bottle with one or two guys and, you know, get that peak. And, you know, it's just like every, you know, we're still waiting for boxing to come back, right? I mean, it was huge when I was a kid, and now it's relegated to, you know, when is Mayweather going to fight? And that's it.
It is, and it sucks, because, like, I grew up on boxing, and I loved all the big fights. And, you know, Hagler and Hearns was way before my time. I was, like 1 year old when they did that. But you know, I remember, like, the middleweight division. I remember Mike Tyson. You know, I remember Evander Holyfield and Sugar Ray Leonard. Then, you know, that segued into, like, Oscar De La Hoya.
Roy Jones,
yeah. And then, you know, Sugar Shane Mosley. And then you mentioned Floyd Mayweather. He became a thing. And Tito, who? Tito, forgot his last name already, but him.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name either.
He's kind of a punk, but I remember him. And I remember the Klitschko's, and then all of a sudden it just kind of eroded. And just all of a sudden it just became just not a thing. So it's just...
Yeah, the dream fights that they kept trying to match up would take so long to put together that by the time they actually got put together, you didn't give two shits if they fought or not.
Yeah. And then they started starting the fight so late. Like, now it's like past midnight on the East Coast. I'm like, why would this be valuable? Like, why would anybody stay this late to watch a boxing match? It just seems really silly to me.
I agree, 100%. I agree.
Well, they've got some work to do, and so we'll see how that goes. Ron, this is not the last we've heard from you. We will hear from you in a couple weeks with our friend John in Connecticut, but it has been an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you for coming on tonight and taking the time to do random questions with me, and all the best to you and your family, and may you have a great rest of your summer.
Thanks, Dave. You too. I really appreciate you letting me come on and do random questions, because, you know, it's daunting to think about it. All the greats who have done it before, you know, Kevin on the Cape is classic. So to be able to do something as he does is definitely fun, and I appreciate it.
Awesome, sir. Well, all the best, and have a good weekend. We'll see. And again, on this final note, may the Red Sox continue to rise, as you will. I think that they would. I mean, look, the pitching is kind of the only thing that's really separating them and the Orioles right now. Their offense is on both teams is great. So can they make that move for a nice pitcher? If they do it, then they probably suddenly get the inside track. Because I'm not convinced by any of those starters in Baltimore.
I you know what? I'm fine if they leave the team the way it is right now. They have so much talent in the farm system.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want them to hold on to it. So, I mean, you know, they are what they are. They're going to score, you know, 7-8 runs a game, and if they get the pitching to hold up, you know, then so be it. But I wouldn't, you know, sell the farm for Chris Sale or someone like that, who, you know, pitching is so strange nowadays. I mean, you got a guy who, and most of the pitchers, they're going to get hurt at some point, you know. And it seems like every pitcher hits a period with a dead arm. So, you know what, roll with what you got and see how the year goes and, you know, play it out like that.
Good attitude, sir. All right. So from us over here in Santa Monica, have a great weekend and all. And we'll see, until next time, my friend.
Thanks. You take it easy, buddy.
All right, bud. That's Ron in New Jersey joining us on the program, and that's going to be it for the show tonight. Wonderful program. Great to catch up with our friend Ron. You'll hear from him again in just a few weeks. So we will leave it out with you this week. Have a great time. Stay cool out there and be careful wherever you are. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow or on our website, www.didcow.com. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll see you next time.